We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. It's Friday night. We already have our Friday night, finally Friday panel in studio. We have Dave Lundy. You know, Dave, I was thinking the other day, I have to make a change in the studio. And you can thank your good friend, Mike Lieber, who also joins us in studio. I will be putting index cards in front of all of my guests' seats so that they can just give me their intro.
Yeah.
And because it's funny, being the, I don't know anymore, president of Aileron Communications and regular contributor at WGN Radio and CLTV, as well as other radio shows that you're no longer doing. But it's
by
funny.
By choice.
It's funny because
he doesn't know yet. I hope he doesn't listen.
Mike gave me his card last time, and he's like, here, because you always forget. And Todd Belcour, who you've met before, he's always like, how many times have I been on the show and you forget my title? I'm like, I'm on the air live 15 hours a week. Last night I had a friend on the show that I've known since I was 16 years old. I have to tell you.
You forgot his name.
No. I've never said his last name since we were 16 years old until he started coming on my show. Because his name, I've called him Dan Z my entire life. So I've known him more than half my life.
Right.
And his name is Dan Zylkowski. But the way it's spelled is, I just was always like, I'm just going to call him Dan Z, since I was 16 years old. So I've always been shorthanding. I just kind of, you know, I just shorthand as Esmeralda's in the studio. We're burying the lead, Esmeralda.
Oh, Alexander. Yeah, that's
you did bury the lead. Yeah.
Sure.
I don't need an index card for Esmeralda Lee.
When you were saying that, I was thinking place cards. Like
exactly.
For dinner?
Yeah, but they have to give me their info so that I can use their place card to share them with the audience.
And are you going to pre-screen that place card, or so we could put anything, or
you're
just going to read it live, so we can put anything we want on it, and
anything,
you're just going to out it comes.
Whatever you
the
write
on
that card.
The greatest man in the world, Dave Lundy.
like Mike Lieber from the Mike Lieber Law Group.
I just want a big brass nameplate.
Well, that you have to bring your own.
Okay.
You're more than
BYON.
Oh, that would be great. If you bring your own nameplate, I don't have to worry about it anymore. That's
a new sponsor.
I like it. Yeah.
Brought to you by nameplates.com.
And Elliot, I've known Elliot for over five years now. I never get his title right at the Anti-Cruelty Society.
You always give me a different title every time. Although you promote me usually.
Yeah. Usually I call him the Director of Education at the Anti-Cruelty Society.
And
none of that is correct.
And luckily,
cruelty. Oh, so he's actually a director.
He's for cruelty.
He's for cruelty, exactly.
Cruelty to people.
Yin and the yang.
Yeah, you can ask
the
Ken.
Cruelty Society.
When Ken brings his kid to the shelter and I show him around, he goes, oh, you're nice to the animals, it's the people that you're cruel to.
We have to take a break because our guest, we have Susan Dannenberger from the Dannenberger Family Vineyards is going to check in with us and let us know what wine she pairs with the Netflix series, The Ranch. You're taking a breath like you want to say something. Yes?
No.
Okay, bye. More in a moment on 720 WGN.
This is the Patty Vasquez Show.
Follow me on Twitter at Patty Vasquez, CHI.
1720 WGN.
Some people see the revolution, but most only see the girl. I can lose my hard-earned freedom if my fear defines my world. I declare my independence from the critics and the stones. I can find my revolution. I can learn to stand alone.
It's Friday night. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studios. Joining me is Elliot Serrano. He does something or other at the Anti-Cruelty Society.
Something. Or more the other lately.
The other. Some of the other. Another. What is your title at the Anti-Cruelty Society?
I am the Manager of Community Programs.
Community Programs.
As well as the Chief Geek Officer for the Patty Vasquez Show. And dubbed Chicago's King of Geeks. I have to use that more now because people keep throwing it at me. They go, wait, are you that guy who's the King of Geeks? I go, yes, I'll own it. I keep saying, though, you know, we are in a democracy, not a monarchy, so I'm waiting to meet the President of Geeks. So then we'll go from there.
You could be the Prime Minister of Geeks.
Prime Minister? I can. Yeah. And then, what is it? Yeah, president, prime minister. What's the other one? It's
ambassador. I don't know.
The
president pro tem.
What? The
chancellor.
Yes.
Chancellor of the geeks.
Chancellor.
See, I like
geeks.
That.
Right, chancellor.
Geek. You could just call yourself geek chancellor.
Geek
Lord
chancellor.
High executioner.
Yes, Lord
that
geek.
One good.
Wow,
I like that.
All right, I'm gonna turn everyone's mics off. We are. By the way, also Mike Lieber joins us in studio, most notably the attorney for the Green Bay Packers fan who wanted to be allowed on the field because he had a season pass for the games, but they wouldn't let him because he was wearing his Green Bay Packers jersey, part of the Mike Lieber law group, the Lieber Law Group.
Lieber Law Group, principal and founder, and also recently ranked one of the top six drivers in North America.
Okay, so... As everyone's given themselves
Wait,
titles.
like driving a car?
Correct.
All right, wow. we're going to circle back to this because we have Susan Dannenberger, our winemaker extraordinaire from Dannenberger Family Vineyards, on the line with us. I assigned her the series The Ranch on Netflix, and we dove into this series together. I had no idea what it was about, and I want to know what she thought. Hey, Susan, how are you doing tonight?
Hey, guys, what's up?
Not much. Did you enjoy the series?
Well, I liked it so far, but I probably shouldn't.
Why? Because of the all the controversy with Danny Masterson.
I know all the controversy, right. And it was interesting to see it. You know, I knew it was going to be like a sitcom, but it was a little bit more
raunchy.
Interesting. Well, yeah, it was. And then, I don't know if it was the way they shot it or the way it was in the studio, but it was kind of like you felt like you were kind of there watching it there instead of just being like this flat, two-dimensional kind of thing going on. So right. I wasn't sure how I felt about it, but I did like the hardworking values they had. It kind of reminded me of my dad and life on the farm. I thought the comedic timing was both staged but fun. And I was curious from you as a comedian what you thought of it.
Well, the way I was watching it, which is weird because, right, it's shot just like a sitcom with a laugh track. I don't know if it's shot in front of a live audience, but it is weird to watch these incredible actors. And we're talking about some of the greatest actors of all time, Sam Elliott. And I was surprised. I did not know that Deborah Winger plays the mom in the family. How weird did you? I had no idea. Wasn't that strange? When
I was shocked, I was like, "Wait, I know her! Oh, wow!"
Right, because they use her photo from Urban Cowboy in the opening credits when they have that country song playing, and you've got you know the shots of the town and the rural roads and the sort of cowboy music. And I agree. I think it's. I don't know how to feel about it. I don't love it, but I don't. It's not unwatchable. It's enjoyable. It's kind of a light thing. There's every episode. It seems like they said, okay, here's the moral of this episode and we're going to get to it. And you can feel it. Like I keep thinking it can just end anywhere, but they do. They do that sitcom trope where you tie everything up with a bow so it's all nice and neat. But it still feels kind of messy. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like the jokes and the banter is kind of fun. It reminds me of my boys. I think you have boys. So like hearing my boys joke around, it reminded me a lot of them. So that was kind of fun as a mom to hear that.
Yeah, but Susan, do they dip their, how do I put this? In the first couple episodes, they talk about pranking each other, but it has to do with their genitalia and each other's cereal and soup and things like that. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, my boys used to totally prank each other. So I was like
that?
Oh, yeah, that's
with
terrible. Somebody else did that.
Wait a minute. So one of the jokes on the ranch, Dave Lundy is looking at me askance.
Ew.
Yeah, there's a joke about how they dip their, they basically teabag each other's food, I guess.
In hot soup?
That's the joke. Is like, well, it was soup. Well, I didn't realize it did. You know, like that's a whole thing.
Are you more bothered because it's just hot soup? And not the fact that they're putting things in hot soup? You're just like, that seems painful.
Well, no. You had me at putting your genitalia in something.
Right.
That's okay. Non-human.
Okay, I'm going to turn your mic off again. So anyway. Anyway, Susan. Susan, do you think you're going to watch the rest of the series? Because I think I'm good. I don't think either one of us has to watch the rest of it. Susan? Oh, no. Did we lose her? Susan? I have everything up.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no. You made her angry.
I'm sorry.
Oh, there she is.
All I know is if I ever go to Susan's, I'm not eating anything in that kitchen.
No. Wait. Her son's a chef. So we're talking about...
That makes it worse.
Yeah, no. Stop. Everyone stop. We've crossed... I feel like...
Wait, you mean the son who used to do that in food?
Okay.
That's a secret ingredient.
This has gone a very different direction than you intended.
It really has. Okay.
I gotta say, I can't imagine doing that in hot soup. Now, vichyssoise, I get.
Okay, all right.
But
I gotta turn your mic off again.
How about in a gazpacho?
Oh my god! Okay, so our point being, Susan, what Susan and I are telling you is that it's entertaining. It's not the best piece of comedic artistry, but I enjoy watching Deborah Winger and Sam Elliott. I think Ashton Kutcher's pretty funny. Now knowing more about Danny Masterson, because I was trying to find out about the rest of the season, he's been accused of some things, and that's why he was fired from the series, although he's one of the co-creators. So it's a lot. It's a big pile of crazy. I there were some laughs, and I'm curious as to what you paired with this series, Susan.
Okay, so first of all, for Elliott's, you know, notes, I did have trail mix with it because I thought that would be an appropriate thing with, you know,
good snack. I like
Colorado
that.
Farmers. I went with my Angel Moon 17. It kind of got some brightness and some floral acidity.
Nice.
It definitely had to be a white because you had to be able to, like, well, first of all, they had no rain.
Yes.
Can't see a red. It's very light.
Right.
And you can't take it too seriously. But it needed to be something that had a bit of a bite to it.
Right.
So to speak. So that was the perfect one with trail mix.
I like that. And that
makes some trail mix.
So what was the wine again?
Angel Moon 2017.
Ah, Angel Moon. Now, is that available for folks to buy on your website?
Mm-hmm. It's a dry Gewurztraminer, but it's got some nice floral acidic qualities to it.
Oh, that sounds perfect because the show's got a little acidic quality to it. I think that comes out perfectly. I'm a little bit excited to move on from the ranch was decent, but there's a series I just started watching the first two episodes of that I'm excited to share with you. That it was suggested by John Tatey, regular contributor on the show. It's a series on Amazon Prime called Fleabag, and I think Ez would.
I just watched the first show two nights ago.
Yes. Okay, so you and me were like, you know, I got to take a break from the ranch. Let's find out what else is out there. Yeah, what did you think of the first episode? We'll go with
it. I thought it was the stick. Well, so she gives this, well, I shouldn't.
We'll talk about it.
But she gives this different perspective. Like,
yes.
I was like, wait, what?
Yeah, and we'll talk about it next week because that's your assignment for next week. You and I will watch. There's two seasons of it, so it's not a lot. And I think we can do this. I'm so excited that you already watched. Yeah, I really like the first two episodes of Fleabag. It's really funny. It's Susan Danenberger.
Excellent.
Wonderful. Susan Danenberger from Danenberger Family Vineyards. You can go to the website, danenbergerfamilyvineyards.com, to find out about all the great events there. And I'm going to see you next week. I might not be able to stay the weekend, but I'm definitely going to make sure I get to your vineyard and
yay!
See you next week. I got to give you a hug.
You guys have a nice holiday weekend.
Thank you, Susan.
Not you guys.
Believe me, I will punish my guests. More after this on 720 WGN. Don't stick anything anywhere, Dave Lundy. More in a moment on 720 WGN. Bye, Susan.
Bye. Bye.
It is finally Friday night. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studios. And earlier today, I can't even remember what post I was responding to. And one of our regular listeners who loves to text in about, the news of the day was like, I can't wait to listen to tonight's show. And I was like, yeah, I can't wait for the texts. Friday night is when things get interesting. I didn't log anybody into the text screen.
No.
You know what? I'm going to leave the text screen closed.
Really?
That's not true.
No,
that's not true. I can't do it. No, sorry. I tried. Esmeralda,
we get so much interesting stuff in text screens.
Yeah. We are.
But wait, so.
Yes.
Interesting.
Look, there are listeners that we love hearing from. Like Trucker Rich will text in, and Trucker Jay. Our truckers we love. We love all of our listeners. And we might not agree on things. It's just when they become disagreeable that it becomes problematic. While I'm in the middle of working, it's like having someone tap you on the shoulder going, you suck, 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 you suck.
So you do have the text screen open.
Exactly. That is the voice of Dave Lundy. He is the president of Aileron Communications. Mike Lee. Lieber of Lieber Law Group is here. We have Elliot Serrano, who is the manager of community outreach at Anti-Cruelty Society, and our chief geek officer on the show on the line. We have Ken Jakubowski, the president and CEO of Sirius Enterprises. We are missing Eric Elk this evening. And last, and definitely not least, we have Esmeralda Leon in the studio. Hi, Esmeralda.
Hi.
And do you enjoy that? I miss having you. I still forget that you're not with us every night. I come in, I'm like, where's Ez? And like, she doesn't work here anymore.
Like, she hasn't been here for a while.
I know, and I'm like, where's Yes.
Hi. What year do you think it is?
I know. sometimes it feels like it's the 1850s.
Well, yeah.
When I walked in and I saw Esmeralda sitting here, I got all excited. I'm like, where's the whiskey and the cookie? Because it's a throwback.
Yeah, that's
it's a throwback to more lubricated times.
Yes.
Oh, okay. God.
I miss those days.
What's going on?
Better fed, you know.
Yes, we used to eat good stuff.
Remember the time when, what's her name? The woman from Whole Foods. Or Mariano's.
Mariano's, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Who used to host Chick, Please.
Yes.
Yes.
She brought in a whole basket.
She brought in this astonishing array of foods.
Yes, we ate like kings.
We ate really well.
Yeah, why
I don't remember this.
We used to have food all the time. Remember when Knife and Tine would bring us trays of food?
Gosh, they're totally
You need to get like the Chicago's best people to bring some food.
We're off track right now already. Yeah. We don't have
Was
much.
Was there a track?
No, I don't think so. Ken, how are you doing tonight?
I'm eating.
I'll be over here chewing on some ice chips, everybody. Hi, how's it going? I was asking, what do you guys want to tackle? I wanted to start with some local stuff that was going on the news, but I feel like no one was following. Does it feel like already months have gone by since we've inaugurated a brand new mayor in the city of Chicago, and you know everything's going to be different? And she chastised the hell out of those aldermen. She was like,
"That was something.
That was incredible.
That was something." I have to say, as a dyed-in-the-wool reformer, former chair of the Better Government Association, watching her take on the alderman in her inaugural address was really, really something. Now, I'm not sure long-term that's a great plan, because people get tired of being chastised, but right now, when there's no centers of power, none of the old guard have their aldermen lined up, so right now, it's like somebody came in and took a giant Cuisinart to the city council, and nobody knows what's there. She can get away with that, but whether that works in the long run, you know, kind of remains to be seen.
Yeah, and the fact that she said it to them while they were all up on the stage,
yeah.
Right?
Well,
there.
She turned around and basically tisked them.
Yeah, it was
awkward. Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
She comes into this job, one of the biggest jobs in the world, as far as you know, being in an elected position, and without any other political experience that you know, she was. Yes, she's worked for the city of Chicago. She's had a lot of different roles, you know, whether it was with the police department, with her law firm, all those different angles. It's a different beast when you have to build alliances and you have to get things done. And this was a problem that Governor Rauner ran into, which was he didn't have any experience of like what you want to bulldoze over people. OK, but you might hit a lot of gridlock.
Well, in fairness, it's not so much the lack of experience that becomes a challenge for some of these people. It's the ability to understand people,
right.
Because I contrast what happened with Rauner, frankly, what's happening with Governor Pritzker, because Governor Pritzker is getting lots and lots and lots of high marks, even from Republicans, for talking to them, working with them, trying to get to yes, understanding that the key to governing is listening.
Right.
It's not preaching. And so, you know.
Which is why, I mean, look, if Governor Pritzker wanted to do all the things, and we'll talk about that in a few moments, he could just do it. Allegedly, he has a supermajority, but that doesn't mean that every Democrat is in lockstep with what he wants.
No.
But presumably, if he really wanted something, he could, you know, he could bully the Democrats, and that was what Rauner even tried doing with Republicans. He threatened to primary them, or he would withhold money for their elections.
He did primary them. And he primaried them early and often.
Yeah.
So no, but that's not JB's style, and you know, that's what I told everybody when they were like, hey, how's that going to work out? He has no experience either, and why are we electing people with no experience? I said he has the one quality that that is essential, which is the ability to listen.
Right.
And so if you can listen to people and hear what they really need,
right.
You might actually get things done. And we'll find out in a week.
Well, I'm curious to see what's going to happen with the city of Chicago. Are you excited to have a new mayor, Ez? Excited is not the word Ez would use.
Yeah.
Well, it's been four days and we're still here, right?
I mean, there's not any.
I mean, we'll still be here.
Yes.
We'll still be here regardless of who's in power, but, you know.
Broker. With less money in our pockets, because that's a problem.
How else, you know, you just got to keep fighting.
I love that as we were we're talking about the state taxes, and as I was like, if there's a fair tax that's on the table. We're going to talk about that in a moment because I know Ken's got some feelings about it. He's got some feelings. Right, Ken? And we're going to take a break first because Ken sent us an email to me and Dave and Eric, and even Eric, the show's, one of our...
Token Republican?
So I spent a lot of today trying to figure out who we could get on the show tonight, and I don't know. I mean, Eric reached out to me. You reached out to me, right? And you recommended Ken, and you recommended Mike. It's not like I go looking for, like, let me know you want to be on the show. I've had the deputy mayor of Woodstock, who is a Trump supporter, who was on the show, and he was great, but he has to come all the way from Woodstock. It's not easy. So if there is anybody out there who has experience being on a panel, being on radio or television that supports President Trump, send me your... I mean, Eric sent me links to video and audio of him doing other shows. I just need to know that you have experience.
And you put
it.
Him on anyway. And I'm kidding. Eric, I would say that if you were here. I
love... He sent me like his resume and everything. I was
really?
Like, I was like, dude, you have me at... Your wow. father listens to the show. More for this one. It's Friday night. We have our finally Friday panel in studio, and Esmeralda Leon joins us. Because you're not part of the regular...
No, I'm not.
But you can if you want to join us.
No.
More Esmeralda.
I don't know how that works.
The audience is clamoring for more. They are.
No, I don't know how that whole politics business works.
But you have opinions. You and I have talked before.
I mean, yeah, but you have to literally, like, just put it in the most simplest terms for me.
Okay.
You were trying to explain the fair tax.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you're just like, the rich people pay more, and the poor people don't. And I was like, all right, well, then why are... What? Perfect. I'm in.
Boom. There you go. Well, and there. Well, Ken Jacobowski has other thoughts on the fair tax. Ken, what are your concerns and apprehensions when it comes to the fair tax?
I think what we've seen so far from the legislature is they're like a bunch of drunken sailors in a bar. I mean, they can't help themselves. There are 19 taxes or increases of current taxes that are moving through the legislature. And now we're going to give these guys a license to do whatever they want at any time. I've got a lot of concerns. And I think from the beginning, my initial concern was you can't amend the Constitution and, in essence, give these guys a blank check to do what they want without any governor on them, without any restriction. And unfortunately, that's, I think, what we've seen so far in the state legislature. And so I'm right now, I've moved from I'll support it grudgingly because I know it's needed to, I'm now undecided, leaning no. And I'm hoping as we move forward, somebody's going to do something that's going to alleviate my concerns. And I know the concerns of many other people out there.
I love my friend Ken. I really do. Ken, you know I love you, man. But you're quoting an article from John. You're quoting an article from John Tillman, the head of the Illinois Policy Institute, the far right wing think. He's wrong, Ken. He's wrong.
Well, wait. What are the concerns?
There are taxes that are being under consideration, but they are not taxes that are going to be hitting ordinary people. Some are fee increases for services that we partake of. Some, for example, the largest increase in revenue that's under contemplation right now is for it's not even a tax. It's on managed care organizations, and it's essentially just something designed to leverage and get more federal money into Illinois. It's not going to cost you and I any more money, not a penny. And one of them is my client, one of the largest managed care organizations, my client. And I've looked at these numbers. They're fine. Another one of the so-called tax increases that Ken is talking about would be the tax on sports betting. Should we establish sports betting? Another one is if we legalize marijuana. I mean, these are new sources of revenue. The whole point of legalizing marijuana is so that we can tax it. And
I don't know if it's the whole point. It's also
a huge
point. Okay. Obviously, it's a huge point.
Wait, so Ken doesn't want taxes on weed or sports gambling?
Well, Ken, I don't know if he hung up on us in his rage, but we don't have Ken on the line.
Wait, where
have
we Ken?
Message him and tell him to call back. I didn't touch anything.
Well, let me say this, because you guys are talking about the fair tax and what Springfield is going to do, because it's a two-step process.
Right.
First, they have to pass the law, a resolution, which then gets it onto the ballot to change the Constitution in 2020. Then the citizens of Illinois get to vote on it. And as we were talking in the studio before, it's going to lower taxes or keep them the same for about 97% of Illinoisans, raise them for 3%. Dave and I have a disagreement on this, because I think even though you've got those numbers, I think it's going to lose. I think Illinoisans are not going to vote for it, and here's why. Because the people who are in the lower 97% all think that at some point they're going to be in the top 3%. Now, most of them won't be. Some of them will. But I think a lot of people are going to vote against it, and I think it's going to lose.
What's the top three?
2% the highest earners.
It's roughly $260,000 for a single person or more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, guys, you're not making that.
Yeah, just right.
Well, and I will say this. When Governor Rauner ran, there was also on the ballot the question whether or not we should tax millionaires. Remember? That won at the same rate that Governor Rauner won. It was over 70%. But it failed in the General Assembly because there were three Democrats that wouldn't vote for it. I think it was like Duncan and that other guy.
Are they
Jack Franks.
And Drury, I would say. So they voted against, and that was going to be money that was going to go toward education.
Are they millionaires?
I don't know if they are. I think one of them, at least one of
those
them
people
is.
The other two are not.
Mm. Yes, but the thing is that now we have the opportunity to vote for ourselves. We can again, but this will be something that is going to be up to the citizens of Illinois.
Yeah, that's under consideration right now is, as Mike pointed out, is just putting it on the ballot in November 2020. And so the citizens get to decide.
Right.
And there will be a very aggressive campaign. Those in the top 3% who are funding this effort by the former head of the Illinois Manufacturing Association and the right-wing people like the ones Ken was quoting, they are going to fight like heck to prevent that from going forward. And there are a lot of people who are going to be paying more taxes who want it to go forward because they recognize it's the right thing to do. A flat tax is a regressive tax, which means if I make $50,000 a year, I need every one of those $50,000 in order to pay for food and rent, etc. If I make $500,000 a year, I spend a lot of money on vacations and second homes and luxury goods. And so it doesn't affect me as much if I'm paying the same flat rate of tax. It's unfair.
And a lot of people would say, though, that taxing, putting it on those who are most successful, the ones that are job creators, will force them to find other places to go. They'll leave the state. However, there are only eight states that have a flat tax. So I'm not sure if they're going to move to Indiana or Michigan or North Carolina or Utah. I mean, is that where they're going to be going?
Well, and there actually
some
have
might.
Been. Yeah,
some might. I mean, some might move to Florida that has no state tax.
Right.
Income tax at all, right.
But there's there have been extensive studies of this, and what those studies have found is that the rate of taxation is an influencer. It's a data point that people consider, but it is not actually the driver of what's driving people out of state.
I was going to say, how much is some?
That
in the sense of, do we really need whoever's leaving? If they're leaving, we'll forget you then. You don't want to help out.
Well, I want their tax money.
If it's a Ken Griffin, then it does make a big deal because he pays probably $40 million a year in state tax.
Well, that's what one listener is actually asking about. They're saying they're wondering how much isn't there. These numbers aren't exact, but I believe the top 10% of earners in America pay 60% of the income tax. I don't think that's the number that they're using, but
the top 2% of wealth holders hold 90% of the wealth. So, of course, they should be paying more taxes.
I'm going to take a break here. Our conversation, we'll move to national politics. I don't know if Ken's going to call us back or not.
I think he's
eating, apparently.
I think he fell asleep on his phone.
More after this on 720 WGN. Are you excited to have a new mayor, Excited is not the word.
Well, no, no, no. You had me at putting your genitalia in something.
Believe me, I will punish my guests.
This is the Patty Vasquez Show.
Follow me on Twitter at Patty Vasquez, CHI.
On 720
Radio.
Wait, this is the Patty Vasquez Show?
This
really?
Is the Patty Vasquez
That's
Show.
That's our highlight?
That's your highlight, is you putting your genitalia in things. That are...
And Ez going, eh.
And who was the guy who said that? That's Dave. Well,
Dave Lundy.
Right.
Yeah. Dave. Hi, Dave.
From?
Hi, Patty.
From Aileron Communications. Did you not want that to go together? I apologize.
No, it's quite all right.
Dave Lundy in studio.
Trust me, my
this.
Clients are not up right now. They're mostly sleeping.
We'll send them little sound bites.
Yeah, that'd be fine.
Yeah, I'll go through your mailing list.
Yeah, that's
Esmeralda good. Leon in studio with us tonight. A lot of listeners chiming in. Yay, love that Ez is on the Aww. Show tonight. We need more Ez. And I was telling them that I've asked you to come in. You know the microphone is always available.
I know,
but you have a job now. You're working days.
She has like one now.
But no. I mean, it's not. You know,
she used to be a bum.
No. I'm saying no. You, but you were working two jobs when you were here. You would get.
Yes.
You would get off the air.
Yeah.
And go from here to another job.
Yeah.
And now you're working that job full time.
Yes.
So it's not that easy to come in here in the
exactly.
middle of the night.
I have to be up at about 5 a.m.
Yeah. So thank you for that. Thank you for coming Thanks. In tonight.
Well, it's Friday.
Right.
I don't work tomorrow.
She messaged me. He's like, what are you doing tonight? I'm like, I have to work tonight.
And then I remember, I was like, oh, it's Friday.
And you went to the Slurping Turtle, which I did not realize
did.
Is closing.
Yeah, they're closing Wednesday.
I don't know. I did not know that.
Yeah, they're, from what I was talking to the bartender, there's pretty much, there's a lot of
Sad
ramen
people.
Game going on,
Too
apparently.
Many.
In that area, which is River North.
Right. Well, so. There's Ramen San.
Yeah.
I don't know. What are the other ones?
I They're Beats Me.
Yeah.
Like there's, well, maybe a Furious Spoon nearby. That's Slurping
maybe.
Turtles. The first place I ever had like really good ramen. So mm-hmm. I'm sad
yeah.
to hear that they're going.
It's very
going
good.
Out.
There's still locations in, I believe, Ohio.
Uh-huh.
In Michigan. So you can find them there.
The best ramen I've ever had is in Los Angeles. I had black.
No, they have good stuff.
Black garlic miso ramen is the best thing I've ever. It was amazing. Yes. Ken, we lost you a little bit earlier. While we didn't have you on the air and you're not in studio, we decided to switch topics because Mike Lieber said, hey, I have a question. What's the one movie that everybody loves that you can't stand? And I said, well, I know what series I think is everyone's passion and is not my jam. Ken, is there a movie that you've heard everyone talk about that they absolutely love or it's won Academy Awards and you watch it, you're like, really? Is there anything like that, Ken, for you?
No, I just don't watch those. I don't, you know, like Star Wars.
I knew he was going to do that. I knew it.
It does nothing for me.
I think that's kind of the deal too. Is that now if he does try to watch it, I don't even know what your expectations will be. It seems like you're already going into it with a negative attitude, Ken.
Well, but that actually can work in the other direction.
Because you're,
I mean,
we've
all gone to a movie with someone else or a group of people, and you weren't excited about seeing the movie that everyone wanted to see, but you went along to go along, and you ended up loving it because you thought it was going to be so bad, and it can't be as bad as you think it's going to be. So you walk out going, you know, it wasn't that bad.
It's all about expectations. I remember about a year ago, kind of spur of the moment, a buddy said, "Hey, I've got two tickets I can't use for Hamilton." And he's like, "You want him?" And so I took my son, and it was fine. It was fine.
Can you shut Lieber's mic off? I'm just saying.
After 3 years of hearing, not that it was the greatest play or musical of all time.
Experience.
But it was the greatest thing ever in the history of the earth. When I saw it, I was like, yeah, it was fine.
I'm so happy to hear you say that, because I have no interest in seeing Hamilton.
Did you ever see it?
No.
Here's my interest.
Hang on a second. I got to ask you this question because you love history.
I got the app. I tried registering for the lottery.
The
I'm not spending.
App? What app?
There's a Hamilton app where you can register for a lottery. They give away like $10 tickets every single day. And I thought, well, if I'm going to go see it, I'll pay $10 to see it. But at this point, I'm not spending. I mean, look, the production has brought over $1 billion. And tourism dollars to Chicago, and that's great. And I love how much people are enjoying it. And yes, that part of the problem is that I am a historian. There are a lot of historians online who've talked about why they don't like Hamilton and they don't encourage people to believe that that's the way things really unfolded, that use it as a launching pad.
You mean they
to
weren't
then learn
rapping?
More.
And
well,
so.
No,
well, no,
it's,
not
it's
just
not,
that.
It's not so much that. It's that most people don't realize, you know, a lot of this was like East Coast rap style. And Alexander Hamilton was like a West Coast rap. So, you know, so from a historical standpoint,
okay.
Totally
he's rolling in his grave because of that.
Ken, have you seen Hamilton?
No.
No. Elliot?
I have not seen Hamilton. And I'm kind of in the boat with you. That
right?
I guess, like, because I have friends who have seen it multiple times.
Yes.
And I'm like, and one, thank you so much for inviting me to go with you. Because, mm-hmm. you know, you've been able to see it more than once.
Mm-hmm.
Never thought, because you're telling me how great it is, hey, maybe I'll take Elliot to see it. No, fine. And but also, yeah, it's that whole thing where people hype it so much, so much, so much. Is you're going to be like, it's no way it's going to live up to that kind of hype.
Right.
To the point
yeah.
where they have like a Hamilton experience now in
yeah,
Chicago.
They do.
Yes.
I feel like I need to defend Hamilton only because
really?
I'm the only one who actually likes
struggling.
It and has seen it.
Yeah, it needs
yes,
the help.
Exactly.
You know? It's really bizarre right now to see Dave morphing into like a rapping Puerto Rican, because that's you're turning into Lin-Manuel Miranda right before my very
wow.
eyes here.
Well, just to be fair, I can't rap. But no, look, I think that the first time I saw Hamilton,
yes.
I was in a bad place, so I just had a huge defeat in Springfield, and I literally drove from Springfield to Chicago because we had Hamilton tickets. So I saw it, and my reaction was, it's okay. I had the reaction Lieber did.
I like how you still, even though we try to pivot away from politics, you still brought Springfield into it. Continue.
It's a story. It's the truth.
So then
I started listening to the music, and then my kids wanted to go see it again. So we went again, and then I loved it. And I truly got into Hamilton mm-hmm. In a way that I didn't the first time. Because the first time I went to see it, I boycotted the music. I didn't want to hear the soundtrack. I didn't want to know what the story was other than what I knew about history. I was like, I don't want to know anything. I want to go in cold. I did the same thing for Book of Mormon. Mm-hmm. And by the way, I like Book of Mormon better. I thought, has anybody here seen Book of Mormon?
No, I have not.
No.
I have something to tell you. Have we talked about this before?
Book of Mormon was
not a big
awesome.
Fan of musicals.
Oh, never mind.
Why are these people singing?
Yeah.
I mean, and there are musicals that I've gone to and movies that I've enjoyed and loved that are, and so it's not that I hate musicals across the board, but it's, I don't, there's something about it that I
see. Book of Mormon was the first musical that I saw that I liked in like 20 years.
Oh.
Because I had gotten totally, so things that other people love that I can't stand other than Field of Dreams, which we don't have to cover again. Although since I've gone public with that, by the
yes.
way, I've had a lot of support. We have a support group going for people who loathed Field of Dreams.
I believe
it's not
it.
Just me.
Well, somebody wrote a piece about it in the Tribune.
Yes, that's
everyone,
right.
Right.
That's right. But but anything by Andrew Lloyd Webber,
yeah,
awful.
Okay,
like flush it down the toilet. Don't make me. You're gonna have to.
You're not a fan.
Literally,
you
have to
fan.
Chain me into the chair to watch that dreck.
By the way, Marilyn is with me and Elliot and Ez that we and Mike that I'm with you. No desire to see it. Hamilton.
Yeah. See, I'm with Patty on this. It's for me. It's the art form. I mean, I appreciate all the effort that goes into a musical. Love the singing and all that, but it's just not for me. I think there isn't a musical that I've ever seen that I've enjoyed, and I just won't go.
I like musicals.
I actually like some.
I've only been to one opera,
uh-huh.
That was my first opera, probably my last. My parents bought tickets for my wife and me and them like 20 years ago for a birthday, and it was The Great Gatsby here at Lyric Opera. And it was in English, and you still couldn't understand it. And what I didn't really get is, you know, everything was sung. So somebody walks in, they're like, hello, how are you? And I'm thinking, why are you singing this?
Can't do it.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. Can't do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, opera, lift. No, thumbs down.
Elliot, before we go to the break?
A new musical was just released, very controversial. Live action Aladdin. I'm wondering what people thought of it.
There's a Matt Fagerholm from Ebert, RogerEbert.com wrote a scathing sort of poem about it. and how much he absolutely hated it. People were commenting that it was more creative. Yeah, he said they said it's more. His poem is more creative than the entire film. Let's take a break here. More conversation when we return. 312-981-7200. Is there a movie or TV series, or now we've also moved into theater, that everyone loves and you just don't get it? I have a TV series that everyone seemed to love, and I've watched the entire first season, a little bit of the second season, and I'm waiting. I'm waiting to be dazzled. More in a moment on 720 WGN, 312-981-7200 to join us anytime.
I'll tell you the truth, Elaine. I don't know if I can be with someone who doesn't like The English Patient.
It's just a stupid movie.
We are talking about movies that everyone loves and you just don't get it. Of course, and I agree with our texters. I tried watching Game of Thrones and... And it was because I had so many guests when I first started hosting here at WGN Radio that loved it. I had a producer who would always play, Craig would always play the intro music for it. And I watched the first episode and I was like, okay.
For Game of Thrones?
Game of Thrones, yeah.
It didn't occur to me because I'm like, well, Craig's been gone so long that I guess that show was on the air
a long time.
It's 8 years. Yeah. Oh,
okay.
Yeah,
it's a while ago. I watched all of it.
But I don't know that that can completely count if you've only seen one episode of
No, I kept trying to jump in.
Okay.
But I, you know, and then there was an episode where they're like throwing fecal matter at this woman walking down the street.
Shame.
Yeah.
Shame.
Yeah. I watched all episodes and I read the first book. And I think the half of the book. Well, the first book is just like the first season.
Okay.
I enjoyed the book. I enjoyed the first season because it was like the book. But I wasn't those, I don't want to say nerds. Nerds!
I like how you look in my direction when you say that.
Well, come on, Elliot. But I wasn't one of those people that was just like, oh, I'm obsessed and I need everything and I need to talk about it 24/7. And oh my God, do you not love it? No, you don't. I hate you now. I need t-shirts and everything related to. No. I was like, it's a good show.
Oh, you're talking about, for me, that's people who talk about The Wire. Because I swear, when people talk about The Wire, yeah. And they come to me, The Wire is the greatest show ever. It's like they turn into religious zealots at that point.
Yeah.
And how The Wire is greatest show ever. I mean, they even made a joke about it on Family Guy. You know, was it
how great it is?
You know,
I saw the first season. I thought it's a good series. I didn't finish watching. I think they had four seasons. Something like that. At least four.
Oh, go ahead.
No, yes. I watched two episodes of that, and I got super depressed because I realized this is happening
right here
in real life.
Yeah.
So I was like, I don't want to watch this anymore. This is just bumming me out completely.
When I did the FBI Citizens Academy, they actually talked about The Wire and how accurate they were about that courtyard and how it becomes this fortress and how, you know, they have these apartments where they do these deals and the FBI will have folks entrenched and they said it was pretty well done as far as the accuracy of it. I enjoyed watching it. My series that I've tried watching because everyone else loves it is Breaking Bad. And for me personally, part of it is that my father died of small cell lung cancer, and I have a son with special needs. So watching that first episode, especially when the series first aired, it's about this guy who finds out he has stage 3 lung cancer and he wants to provide for his family, including his pregnant wife and his child with special needs.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is brutal. But so now I'm in a better place. You know, my family's pretty, you know, solid. We're doing okay. And I thought, okay, I'm going to try again because everyone loves it. They say it's the best series ever. And I'm a season and a half in and I'm like, okay, any minute now, going to love this.
Patty, I'm right with you on that one.
Really?
Yeah, I'll be honest though. I think I watched it, I want to say 2 or 3 seasons in. I got pretty deep. I got all the way until he became terminally ill. And they were trying to figure out.
Spoilers!
Spoiler alert!
It's been out for 15 years.
Right, at this point.
He deals drugs.
No, but he's like his brother-in-law was trying to onto him or close to figuring out it was him.
Yeah.
And it was just a very, very dark time. I think every episode for 6 or 7 episodes straight was super depressing, and I can't get past it.
Yeah.
Well, on the intro, you played a little clip from Seinfeld where Elaine is talking about how she hates The English Patient. And I totally hate The English Patient. And the Academy loved it.
Yes.
But frankly, it's probably not a good example just because I haven't met too many people who actually like it. The one movie that I think is overrated, it's fine, but it's not here in Chicago. Yeah. Everybody thinks it's the greatest movie ever. Is Ferris Bueller's? I think it's fine. I don't think it's unbelievably good.
Well, that's Michael Lieber from the Lieber Law Group who hates Ferris Bueller.
He didn't say he hated it. He just thinks it's overrated. And Nick D absolutely hates that movie.
Do you think most people love it only because it's set in Chicago?
I love it because I had such a big crush on I'm blanking on
the vice principal. William Atherton. Yeah.
You mean the guy who later got busted for child abuse?
Matthew Broderick, Sarah Jessica Parker's husband.
See, I have a soft spot for the other guy. Don't you know him?
Alan Ruck. Yeah, he's.
I'm not saying.
And I had a soft spot for Sarah Jessica Parker, but that has nothing to do with Ferris Bueller. Except
it's Mia Sarah, though. She was cute.
She was.
I liked the car.
Right, Sarah
the car
Jessica
was great.
Parker.
The car was right, nice. Roger.
That was Jennifer Grey.
No.
The car?
No, in Ferris Bueller's.
People are getting so mad or call in. Like, the car was not named Jennifer Grey.
By the way, who said they didn't like Andrew Lloyd Webber? Is that you?
Me.
How can you not love Les Mis and West Side Story?
Oh, Les Mis?
Excuse me. I'm sorry. West Side Story? God. What does West Side Story have to do with Andrew Lloyd Webber?
I have no idea.
Oh, boy.
Maybe musicals. I think it's got to be musicals.
They do Cats?
Oh, no, I love West Side Story. I was in Cats. West Side Story.
And Starlight Express.
I was in West Side Story in high school.
Les Mis was exactly as it
his
says.
Acting career.
What was that?
Thus ended his acting career.
Well, that's right. That's
okay, we
actually
got a lot of voices going on right now. This is where I start getting in trouble with management. Poor Ken's like, any minute now, they'll come back to me. Hi, Ken. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. I'm not. The Wire was okay.
Did you watch Breaking Bad?
You know, I haven't seen it yet. I hope to be able to settle in at some point soon. It's on my list.
I mentioned Fleabag earlier. I'm really enjoying that series.
Who's in that? I just heard about it recently.
It's an actress who created a show. It's like a one-woman, I don't know if it's a one-woman show, but she is a stage play in England, and this has sort of come from that. It's about this woman who is dealing with grief with some sexual adventures. But the way it's done, she breaks the fourth wall. Like the entire way she's talking to you while she's making love to somebody or in the middle of an argument or accidentally exposes her breasts to a loan officer at a bank. She thought she had a shirt underneath. You ever take your sweater off?
And hope,
she's taking off her sweater and she thinks she has a shirt underneath and she doesn't.
It happens to me all the time.
Oh, that happened to me last week.
Me too, all the time.
Well, when you walk out without pants on, you kind of forget that. That's a problem.
Yeah, what's a shirt?
And now we've come full circle in this show.
Yes, we have. We're going to take a break, and we're going to come back and do the news, and then we're going to play What's That From? Ken, do you want to hold on or come back for after What's That From?
No, I'll be happy to hold on because I like to listen to you guys.
Wonderful. Stand by. Let's take a break and then toss it over to Roger Badish after this on 720 WGN. It's Friday night. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio. Hope that you're happy, healthy, and safe wherever you are tonight. And don't forget, if you're missing any of the show, you want to go back and hear what all of us were saying, because there's a lot of voices in studio tonight. We have Mike Lieber, Esmeralda Leon. We have Dave Lundy, Elliot Serrano. On the line is Ken Jakubowski in the newsroom. We have Roger Badish producing the show, making everything goes smoothly is Ro Coleman with the most incredible wave in show business. I love it's like a whole body thing.
Oh, it's a queen wave.
Hello. I mean, like, she's the one that tells the queen what to do. I love that. We are about to play What's That From? It's your chance to win a gift card from Apt Electronics. 312-981-7200. And I think I have a backup, a trivia question for this as well. And you can win another prize if somebody else, so don't hang up. Once you hear somebody else win, you don't necessarily have to hang up because maybe you'll know the answer to the question I have. So with that in mind, don't forget 312-981-7200. We take a scene from a classic movie and destroy it so you can never enjoy the movie the same way again. Here is Roger Badish.
Interior terminal, nighttime. Walsh walks through the crowded terminal. He scans the place, no agents in sight. Walsh crosses the terminal, heading for the center where he can be clearly seen. A few of Serrano's bodyguards enter, glance at Walsh, fan out in the crowd. Walsh pulls the last cigarette out of a pack and lights it. Agent Mosley and the other FBI agents look through binoculars down at Walsh. They also listen in on the wire. Suddenly, Serrano comes into sight of one of the FBI agents.
Here he comes.
Walsh stops in his tracks as he sees Serrano walking towards him. Serrano looks at Walsh's ragged appearance.
Jack, long time no see.
Long time no see.
I see you're still spending all your money on clothes.
Well, you know.
Listen, while you're in town, if you want to see a show or a free meal or something like that, you let me know. It's on me. That's just the kind of guy I am.
You're a real sport.
Mosley and the other agents continue watching Walsh and Serrano.
Just give him the discs.
Hey, how's your mother?
She's all right.
Daughter getting big, growing up and all, huh?
Walsh nods his head and stares at Serrano.
You know, I was thinking, maybe if we'd done business way back when, you wouldn't look like a guy with a freaking cup in your hand.
Yeah, just trying to make a living.
Hey, you got the discs or did you lose them too, like your job?
Keep going. Give him the discs, Walsh.
Well, I see you, but I don't see the Duke.
We'll worry about him in a minute.
No, we gotta worry about him right now. This isn't a reunion. If I don't see him in 5 seconds, I'm walking.
You're still way too serious. Why don't we take a walk together and go get him?
Screw you. See you at the arraignment.
Jack starts to walk. Serrano calls out to him.
All right, Jack. All right. Hold up. You win.
Serrano nods to a gun by a phone. The goon nods back and places a call. Walsh is pissed.
I said no goons.
Don't worry about him. You're going to get what you want.
Dorfler, complete with black eye, moves up to the counter.
One-way ticket to L.A.?
That's mine. One-way ticket to L.A.?
Smoking or non-smoking?
Dorfler lights up a cigarette and blows the smoke at the clerk.
Take a wild guess.
Suddenly, Dorfler turns and spots Tony and Joey walking right past him with the Duke. Dorfler does a double take. He grabs his .45 out of his duffel bag, puts it in his pocket, and moves after them. Perry sees Dorfler coming.
Ah, crap.
Now Mosley sees Dorfler coming.
I'm going to have a heart attack before this is over.
Tony and Joey appear with the Duke. Walsh motions for the Duke to get behind him.
Give me the discs.
Dorfler appears.
Aw, oh, darn it. Marvin, take a hike.
No way.
Dorfler pulls out the .45 and begins tugging at the Duke.
You're missing the bigger picture here, Marvin.
Dorfler grabs at Walsh. Walsh's wire goes dead. Agent Tuttle looks up.
The wire's gone dead.
Serrano grabs the discs and moves on with Joey and Tony. The goons begin to approach. They're clearly armed. Walsh sees them coming. Marvin, watch out! Watch out!
I'm not falling for that BS again.
Will you look out?
Walsh leans into his jacket.
He's got the discs. He's got the discs.
Walsh turns to the balcony and yells out.
Serrano's got the discs. Serrano's got the discs.
Feds move in from everywhere. They grab Serrano, Tony, Joey, and Dorfler. There are nearly 100 federal agents that continue swarming in. Walsh moves over to Serrano with a big smile.
You know, there's something I've been wanting to say to you for 10 years.
Oh, yeah? What's that?
You're under arrest.
Yay! All right. We have listeners on the line. And don't forget, if you hear someone else get the answer right, don't hang up because I have a backup question for another prize. Anthony, I have a question for you. What's that from?
Midnight Run.
There you go.
Yay.
Yay, Anthony. Anthony has won a gift card from Apt Electronics, making people happy since 1936. You can go to their store out in Glenview or visit their website, abt.com. And if you do visit the store in Glenview, make sure you say hi to our good friend, Steve Shapiro. All right, Casey, I have a trivia question for you for an indoor weather station. I don't have my phone on me today, but here, Casey, what is the breakfast type dish that Charles Grodin gets a little bit obsessed over in Midnight Run?
Don't know.
Oh, no! Oh, boy. Does anyone else have a backup question for her?
How much is the coffee and the tea at the same place? That's too hard. That's too hard.
That seems weird. That seems wild.
Okay, here, I've got one.
Yes.
The actor who played Dorfler was in a series of movies. What? A series of movies where he also played a cop. What movies were those?
Oh, boy. I feel like... What do you think,
Kate? Oh, okay. So,
Beverly Hills Cop.
Yes.
Ding, 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 ding.
Hey, you've got an indoor weather station, Casey. Hold on the line. And I've got, I'll see if Bob got the other answer. Hey, Bob, what's the breakfast dish that Charles Grodin becomes obsessed over?
What's the what?
The breakfast dish. Do you remember?
I don't know. No.
Okay, nobody can see Midnight Run.
I don't even know, and I've seen the movie 25 times.
Can I say? Or
yeah,
are you gonna...
go ahead. Nobody else got it.
Oh, it's chorizo and eggs.
Yes. Oh. Yes. That is delicious.
Which is delicious, too.
It is delicious. Yeah, my husband loves. I haven't seen that movie in probably 20 years. I don't think I've seen it since it came out.
I have seen it 20 times. I've probably seen it 50 times. It is a tremendously good movie.
I haven't seen that movie in, God, it's got to be like a week and a half.
We're going to stay up all night and watch it. I'll message you when we get home.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's on in heavy, it recently was on in heavy rotation on cable again, so I saw it a couple more times.
All right, I'm going to watch that one. Elliot, have you seen it recently?
Not recently, no. About, it's funny because when I was writing Army of Darkness for Dynamite, the publisher, Nick Barucci, every time he'd see me, he'd go, Serrano, have you got the disc? Serrano's got the disc. He'd always be quoting that.
Oh, wait a minute.
Me.
I just realized your name is Serrano.
Really? Really? Yeah.
Allegedly, Charles Grodin has permanent scars from the real handcuffs he had to wear for a great part of the movie. Interesting. Mm, wow. I did not know that.
I would have thought the scars were for jumping out of the freight train.
You would think, right?
But I'm guessing that might have been a stunt double.
Oh, boy. Yeah. I imagine it would be.
Yeah.
I enjoy Midnight Run very much. I'm trying to find...
By the way, yes. For our listeners, that was not completely sticking to the script. Because
you think?
We had to edit out a lot of bad words. A lot of bad words.
Darn.
And I appreciate that because I didn't have my finger on
it. I was surprised that Roger read that stage direction that had the, you know, about how he was PO'd.
Yes.
Well, that's a mild expletive.
By the way,
it is after midnight.
The script originally the script had Marvin die in the scene where Serrano's thugs knock him out, but it was felt that the climax would have been less dramatic and suspenseful without him.
Oh yeah, no, Marvin was important in that climax in McCarran Airport.
How many times? Estimate. How many times do you think the F word is used in Midnight Run?
I think I saw this sometime, and I want to say it's like 75.
I was going to say about 50.
What do you think, Elliot?
100.
Elliot's the closest. What do you think? What do you think, Roger? Have you seen the movie? You've seen it?
No, I have not.
Well, now you want to. 119 times.
Wow.
Yeah.
119.
Even by Price is Right rules, Elliot wins.
101. You'd be like that guy. 101.
There was a talk of making a sequel or even a remake with Tribeca Films, obviously Robert De Niro's company. No,
don't remake this movie. Lately, they've been remaking movies and just destroying them. Don't do that.
Here's a question for you.
Yes.
Patty, what is a movie that is calling out for a sequel that has not been made?
Oh, I don't know.
Star Wars.
Thelma and Louise. More after this on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studios. Ooh, we're driving.
This is the Patty Vasquez Show.
Follow me on Twitter, Patty Vasquez.
My bad.
All right.
720 WGN.
Yes, please do follow me on Twitter. Tell me something. You can also follow us on Facebook.
A little early.
Patty V Show. No, this is it.
Oh.
We're done. It's a short show.
It's 12:48.
What time are you on?
Yeah. Okay, so what you mean is sometimes we go long in that last segment, and we only have like 4 minutes left.
Right.
Yeah, but the show's almost over.
We have so many good things to talk about.
We do.
By the way, if you're all wondering, that's Ezra Leon. Ez is here. I'm so excited. I'm trying not to scream.
So can I tell you something bad before I tell you something good?
Man. Oh, gosh. Tell me something bad.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's bad, but has anybody noticed Lake Michigan is like about to overflow its banks? That we are, Lake Michigan right now is the highest level it's been, I think, in recorded history. If you know those, when you're looking at the beach and you have all those metal things that stick out of the water. Yeah, they're not sticking out of the water anymore. They're all underwater.
You're talking about the pylons.
Yeah, the pylons. Like, we are right now, I just read that the Lake Michigan is 11 inches higher. That's almost a foot higher than last year.
But we need water to live, so that's good.
Yeah,
right?
No, it is good. That's why I said
until
I
wasn't sure it's
good
us
or bad.
All.
Right. But it was just, yeah.
It's baby, hold on.
Yeah. Okay.
Because the water's. I'm trying to find some music underneath your. Tell me something bad. Like, yeah, I didn't have any sound cues for tell me something bad. So yeah. Just hold on, Dave.
I'll hold on. Hold on to a life preserver.
What's funny,
the water overtakes us.
Have you read anything about why this is happening, Blanche?
Yeah, because it's rained a lot.
It has rained a lot. Well, the thing is, because I used to guard at North Avenue Beach, and that's why I know those are pylons. It's a sheet metal wall that runs along the length of North right. Avenue Beach from the Hook, which is that sort of dividing island between Oak Street and North Avenue Beach. And for years, I was always worried because the shoreline was the water was actually receding. So you know what, Dave? It all comes out in the wash. Is what I'm trying to tell you.
The water comes out in the wash? Yeah, you're right.
I didn't really mean to do that. But I'm saying it recedes, it comes back, it looks like it's going to overflow. But I know that there are some people who have been writing about this and are concerned. And I would say that, you know, especially in the summertime when there's any sort of windy weather, please be careful when you're walking or riding along the lakefront. Just be aware of your surroundings. There's a lot of people that don't realize how dangerous Lake Michigan can be. And but it's, I don't think it's that bad, Dave.
No, it's really hot. I was struck. I was driving down Lakeshore Drive the other day, and I looked over, and I'm like, oh my God, the pylons are underwater.
If that's your worst something bad, then it's not so bad.
I didn't say it's my worst. I just was struck by the fact that our lake is so hot, and I'm a former boater, so I spent years on the water. And it's never been like this, not even close. So it's interesting.
I'm trying to find any stories that might...
But yes, fresh water, more fresh water, that's great. There are parts of the country that would kill for what we've got.
Parts of the world that would kill for
that's
that.
That's right.
I'm saying.
When it's not contaminated by, you know, the
PCBs?
The folks upstream, yeah. up the lake from us.
I saw today that they found... The Asian carp, miles away from the lake in Lake Calumet.
Here's the thing I don't understand. Asian carp, why don't we just, fish them into extinction like we do with every
They're
other...
They're very bony.
Well, still, but...
Actually, they're a delicacy that Asians love them and will pay top dollar.
Should just fish them until we...
don't know that that's...
By the way...
Literally, there are various Asian exporters that have come over from China in particular, and they have paid good money for the franchise to take Asian carp and ship them back. It is considered a delicacy.
But I don't doubt that. It's probably delicious.
Well, remember they were trying to come up with recipes because they were worried that we were going to be overwhelmed by the Asian carp.
Yeah.
And
right.
they were, yeah.
It's a challenging fish because it's very bony and there's not much meat.
Right, right. That's the thing. Going back to the high water levels, they are surging in all the Great Lakes and will likely hit records this summer. By the way, this is after a 15-year slump that stranded pleasure boats, forced cargo vessels to lighten loads, dried up wetlands, and fueled conspiracy theories that water was somehow being siphoned off to the parched west. But the problem is, because of the high water levels, there is the risk of erosion and flooding in some areas. Right. So that is the concern.
Yes. See, I told you there was something bad there.
I mean, I know there's a lot of flooding.
It feels bad.
There's a lot of flooding in the Ravenswood area by the river.
Oh, there's a lot of standing water in Jefferson Park, too, all along. I mean, we're talking deep water.
Well, we went to Starved Rock for Mother's Day, and the visitor center in Starved Rock is partially underwater.
I heard on the radio today, I heard on WGN earlier today that...
good job listening to WGN.
Thank you. The main lower parking lot at Starved Rock, they said, if you want to come, get here early. Totally underwater.
They're also saying that if you have plans to go to Starved Rock, because it's the holiday weekend,
right,
and people want to travel with their families, there's going to be a lot of people on the roads. If you have plans to go to Starved Rock, they say follow them on social media, on Twitter, on Facebook, and they'll be updating whether or not it's a good idea for you to come, you know, when's a good time to get there, and what the accessibility is going to be like.
The cool thing is, the waterfalls are going to be going crazy.
It wasn't.
Really?
No.
Not just because all the rain.
I would have thought that. I was actually expecting that.
Wasn't. Do you have a feeling that these guys don't know what Tell Me Something Good is?
I've got a great something good.
You're all bummers.
All right, should we transition to something good?
Wasn't
you
ready.
Used all your time on something bad. You used your time. You don't get to come back around and tell me something. I'm teasing Dave Lundy. I know that Mike Lieber wanted me to come back around and ask him about being one of the safest drivers in the world.
Yeah, I was ranked just last week one of the six best drivers in North America.
By who?
And why? And how does
In your
like
family?
Occur?
No. Well, I did the rankings. But it turns out that I am ranked one of the six best drivers in North America. So
based on what criteria?
It's just, you know, kind of feel.
I just haven't driven in a while. I'm not going to show off my talents. I'll let you shine.
Skills. Yeah.
But I was very happy with that ranking, so I'll take it.
The sad thing is that that ranking was just of people in his house, and only three people in his house drive. So,
your son just turned 14?
Yes, today is today. Well, yesterday, I guess, at this point, since it's suddenly Saturday. But on finally Friday, it was Eli's 14th birthday. It was very exciting. He's got some friends sleeping over tonight.
Oh, cool.
We're taking him. I'm taking him to the Cubs game tomorrow, and got a whole
today
birthday weekend That's... extravaganza.
Well, I hope nothing but wonderful weather for your celebrations this week.
Yes, I'm hoping that the rain that is inflating the lake will not wash out the game.
You really stuck on that.
I tied it together.
You really
just imagine
really
a giant tidal wave taking over Wrigley Field. Is that what your fear is?
Yes. Yes, it's a tidal wave of bad pitching.
The wind is blowing out, but the water is flowing in. Yeah. Wow. Wow. I thought that was
filled the room.
Strike one.
There you go. Ez, do you want to tell us? My something good is that Esmeralda Leon is here.
Aww.
Hi, Esmeralda.
My something good is Memorial Day weekend.
Yes.
3-day weekend for most people.
Yes.
It is
Memorial Day weekend. What are your plans?
Nothing.
Excellent.
Doing nothing.
And, you know, relax, rest.
Contemplating life.
Yes.
I don't know. Nothing. Just relaxing.
Will you come back more often?
Sure.
Please. Will you come on Fridays? You can come on Fridays.
Yeah.
All right. Come hang out with us.
Did you think it was going to be like you're going to have to beg and plead?
I've asked you before to come in. But it's
like the middle of the week.
Yeah, you're right. That's true.
It's like it's a school night. I cannot.
All right. Fair enough. Fair enough. Elliot, do you want to tell us something good?
This week was a good week for being a geek because we had not one but two cool teaser trailers. One for the new Terminator movie.
Sarah Connor is back.
Linda Hamilton is back.
Is it a James Cameron movie?
James Cameron is producing it.
Nice. She's still got the guns.
She's got the guns. She looks like a badass.
Mm-hmm.
And also a teaser for the new Picard Star Trek series.
Oh, I didn't see that.
With Patrick Stewart.
By the way, I told you this yesterday at lunch. One of the best interviews I have heard on any show ever was yesterday with Bill and Wendy. If you had a chance, download the podcast. It was with Kate Mulgrew, and she was breathtakingly wonderful. She has a new book out, and it's about dealing with the passing of both of her parents, and just great stories about her life, her family. And her just the way she tells a story was dazzling. So I highly recommend that you listen to the podcast of the interview. I came running in here. One, I was hoping to get a selfie with her, but she had already left. But I wanted to tell Bill and Wendy how incredible that interview was. It was so good. But she was talking about, I'm sorry, the reason I'm mentioning her with talking about the Star Treks. She was saying that when she arrived on the set, she was very nervous. And Patrick Stewart told her that she would be great at it, and that, you know, just show up and tell yourself you're going to do a good job. And something about how the captains don't like to meet each other.
Yeah, they wait till after they're off the show, and then they do the whole circuit together.
Yes. So, I'm not a Trekkie, so I don't know.
Yeah.
I am, and I don't get that.
But
why would they not meet each other?
Because then you have to run into William Shatner at some point, and that's never.
Which brings me to another thing before the break, which is you have to listen to Ro Khan's show, too, his podcast. William Shatner, for some reason, had Ro Khan's phone number, but thinking it was somebody else, called and left him a message. And so there's this incredible exchange and confusion. But there's a great message from William Shatner on Ro Khan's voicemail. It's very funny.
That's very funny.
So all the hosts were having great. It was a great week here at WGN Radio. So we're also glad that you were here. More after this on 720 W. Well, a little bit more, and then mostly Matt Bubala after this.
Did you know that Illinois has more places to gamble than all of Nevada? This week we explore if this fun fact helps out the financial well-being of our state.
Mike Steven is outside the loop later this morning at 6
on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
I have just been informed that that Matt Bubala is not here tonight. There's Jess running in to tell Ro that Matt Bubala is not in tonight. And why hasn't John Hansen come and said hello to us? He knows where we are. I guess he's prepping. Well, I don't. And his schedule's rough too because he does the you and me.
Actually,
he's in tonight. Yes,
he's in for Dave Plyer tomorrow night.
Okay,
and then he's in for Nick Sunday night.
Oh. That's a whole lot of John Hansen.
You got. Speaking of which, he just set a land speed record coming in to see you.
I've done that run before. Here comes John Hansen. He's running over here. Here, grab this mic over here. Hi, John Hansen.
Hey.
You weren't even running. You were bouncing.